So reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the scheduled incarnations, texts 34 and 35. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yea, chapalamba karada durk kish avishta. Is that the wrong thing? Ye cha pralamba karada durakeshavishta.
Ye cha pralamba karada durakeshavishta.
Male bakamsha yavanakapi pongraka dahara.
Male bakamsha yavanakapi pongraka.
Anye cha sal shalva kuja balvata danta bakra. Saptoksha Shambhara Vidurata Rukmi Mukhya.
Saptoksha Shambhara Vidurata Rukmi Mukhya.
Deva Mide Sanite Shalina Atta Chapa. Kamboja Natsha Kuru Shunjaya Kai Kayaja.
Kamboja Natsha Kuru Shunjaya Kai Kayaja.
Yes, Yantya Darshanam Alambala Partha Bhima.
Yes, Yantya Darshanam Alambala Partha Bhima.
Vyajat Vayena Harina Nilayam Tadiyam.
Vyajat Vayena Harina Nilayam.
Together, transliteration. Yay, all those, cha, totally, Pralamba, the demon named Pralamba, Kara, Dinakashur, Dardura, Bakasura, Keshi, the Keshi demon, Arishta, the demon Arishtasura, Mala, the wrestler in the court of Kamsa, Ibha, Kuvilaya Priya, Kamsa, the king of Mathura and maternal uncle of Krishna, Yavinaha, the kings of Persia and other adjoining places, Kapi, Vidura, Pandraka Ajaha, Pandraka and others, Anya, others, Cha, as much as, Shalva, King Shalva, Kuja, Narakasura, Balbala, King Balbala, Dantavakra, the brother of Shishupal, a dead rival of Krishna's, Saptoksha, King Saptoksha, Shambhala, King Shambhala, Vidura, King Vidura, Rukmi Mukyaha, the brother of Rukmini, the first queen of Krishna at Dwarka. Yea, all those, Va either, Vidhe, in the battlefield, Samita Shalinaha, all very powerful, Atat Chapaha, well equipped with bows and arrows, Kamboja, the king of Kamboja, Matsya, the king of Dvabhanga, Kuru, the sons of Dhritarashtra, Shunjai, King Shunjai, Kaikaya Adyaha, the king of Kaikaya and others, Yashyanti, would attain, Adarshana, impersonal merging within the Brahmajyoti, Alam, what to speak of, Bala, Baladev, the elder brother of Krishna, Partha, Arjuna, Bhima, the second Pandava, Raja Avyena, by the false names, Harina, by Lord Hari, Nilaya, the abode, Tadiya, of him. Translation, purport, by Srila Prabhupada. All demoniac personalities like Pralamba, Dinakasura, Baka, Keshi, Arishta, Chanura, Mushtika, Kuvilaya, Pida, Elephant, Kamsa, Yavana, Narakasura, and Pundraka, great marshals, like Shalva, the Vida monkey, and Balbala, Dantavakra, the seven bulls, Shambhara, Vidura, and Rukmi, as also great warriors like Kamboja, Matsya, Kuru, Shunja, and Kekai, would all fight vigorously, either with the Lord Hari directly, or with him under his names of Baldeva, Arjun, Bhima, etc. And the demons thus being killed would attain either impersonal Brahmajyoti or his personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. Purport. All manifestations in both the material and spiritual worlds are demonstrations of the different potencies of Lord Krishna. The personality of Godhead, Baladev, is his immediate personal expansion, and Bhima, Arjuna, etc. are his personal associates. The Lord would appear, and he does so whenever he pleases, with all his associates and potencies. Therefore, the rebellious souls, like the demons and demoniac men mentioned by names like Pralamba, will be killed either by the Lord himself or by his associates. All these affairs will be very clearly explained in the 10th canto. But we should know well that all the above-mentioned living entities killed would attain salvation either by the immersion in the Brahmajyoti of the Lord or by being allowed to enter into the abodes of the Lord called Vaikunthas. This has already been explained by Bhishma Dev, first canto. All persons who participate in the battlefield of Kurukshetra or otherwise with the Lord or Baladev, etc., would benefit by attaining spiritual existence according to the situation of their minds at the time of death. Those who recognize the Lord would enter Vaikuntha, and those who estimated the Lord as only a powerful being would attain salvation by merging into the spiritual existence of the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord. But every one of them would get released from material existence. Since such is the benefit of those who played with the Lord inimically, one can imagine what would be the position of those who devoutly served the Lord in transcendental relationship with him. Long Vishnu, the Lord Krishna started the day, Shimada Bhakti Vinata Swami, and on these days, very sort of good Lord, which is Shishishishishishishishishishishishishish. So we've been hearing a lot about some demons here. Yesterday we heard about Sankachita. Just a little side note on that. The beginning of the Dallas Temple was started with a little teeny duplex. And Dinamanda, myself, and Mohanananda and Shastri were there. And The altar, the main person that we put on the altar, it was a picture that they had given us from L.A. I think it was the original picture of Krishna Balaram and Sankachita. That was our main, that's what we did our tiktok every day, was Sankachita and Krishna Balaram, you know, with the logs running after him, Sankachita's looking back. So this is a little funny how we started the movement. I wonder if that picture's still in Dallas. I hope it is. Anyway, that was the first deities I actually like worship was Krishna Balaram, and now I get to worship him again. So this is a little explanation of some of Krishna's potencies. Now, in the material world, if you want to be a star or be popular, then you have to drum up some kind of a potency. You have to manifest something really special, something out of the ordinary, something excel, you know, to be able to draw in and attract other people to become your fans or whatever. You really have to come up with something good. And then what happens is everyone turns towards you. Yeah, you're so wonderful, you can do this or you can do that. And then in a few years, they turn their head somewhere else and someone else is better. And then pretty soon that person loses that potency and they're gone. They're vanished. But Krishna, he has a big bag of potencies. He can pull out anything from A to Z and beyond. Whatever he wants to manifest, he can. And he can do that in any universe, he can do it for anyone, he can do it at any time and forever. So, Krishna lives up to his name, Krishna, the most attractive one. It has something for everybody. In the Bhagavatam, there's something for everybody. You can become attracted to his incarnations, as we're reading here, or to his pastimes. In Vrindavan, a Mathur, as a husband, as a lover, as so many things. So Krishna is definitely the supreme person. Of course, here we're talking about the incarnations. And of course, the Das Avatar is something kind of dear to, I think, all of our hearts. We hear about it in the very beginning. And we've been hearing about it. We've seen plays of the Das Avatar. We hear songs. We see dances of the Das Avatar. And so it's very dear to the devotees, these pastimes. Recently I was asked to do some wood burnings of all the Das Avatar for somebody. And so I did some research trying to find which pictures I wanted to use. And I was surprised that even other countries have kind of incorporated this Das Avatar. And they have their different moods of drawing them and everything. So it's a known fact that the Lord has all these fantastic incarnations, and he can perform them for our entertainment and to also like he says in Bhagavad Gita, to get rid of the demons and to deliver the devotees. So this is something that Krishna doesn't have to do by any means. He can do it at his sweet will. He doesn't have to do anything. He's fully satisfied and complete. He's not required or he doesn't have to get a job or anything. He can effortlessly perform the most wonderful, magnificent potencies that we are very proud of. When your father does something that's really, really wonderful, then the son will, or the daughter will think, yes, I'm so proud of my father. So we can be very proud of the Supreme Lord and all the different things he does. And sometimes even it's describing here that he can give that potency to other persons. He can give it to Balaram. Balaram will help kill some of these demons. And even Arjuna had that potency to help on the battlefield. As Lord Chaitanya, he gave potency to Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go door to door and to deliver so many people. And even he would go in the villages, Lord Chaitanya would just touch somebody, in South India he was there, he would touch somebody and they would get love of God. And then that person had that potency, would go and touch somebody else and they became filled with love of God. So very freely, Krishna can deliver this potency to others. We were hearing yesterday about how the Goswamis, they had that potency to write so many wonderful books and distribute Krishna consciousness in that way. as Lord Ram. Think of building the bridge, which to this day baffles the scientists. But just his name, just putting his name on the rock, that potency was able to make these rocks float. And the monkeys had that potency to build him that skyway to receive Sita back. So these are some of the potencies. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was definitely given the potency by the Lord to write these books and to deliver this message to the whole entire world. It's now all over the planet. So this is also the most wonderful potency of Krishna, that he can benedict others with it too. So there's many different ways we can glorify Krishna. And then we come to this point of, God is all good and everything. But here, we hear of all these demons being killed, all this bloodshed, with heads flying here and there, and bodies floating in rivers of blood and everything. I was reading, I'll give you a little sample, a little taste. This is the battle between the demigods and the demons when they're churning the ocean. This is some of the descriptions that we come about that Krishna takes part in. My dear king, Bali Maharaj then disappeared and resorted to demoniac illusions. A giant mountain generated from illusion then appeared above the heads of the demigod soldiers. From that mountain fell trees blazing in a forest fire. Chips of stone with sharp edges like picks also fell and smashed the heads of the demigod soldiers. Scorpions, large snakes, and many other poisonous animals, as well as lions, tigers, boars, and great elephants, all began falling upon the demigod soldiers, crushing everything. Oh, my king, many hundreds of male and female carnivorous demons, completely naked and carrying tridents in their hands, then appeared crying the slogans, "Cut them to pieces, pierce them." Fierce clouds harassed by strong winds. I was reading this right before I went to bed. They appeared in the sky, running very gravely with the sound of thunder. They began to shower. And then there's a fire, and then there's whirlpools and this and that. And then Krishna comes and he starts slicing everyone's heads off. So, it's a little hard to discuss these things, especially during Sangatana, usually. But they see these pictures of the demons and the blood and everything, and you think, well, God is this is not a very nice, attractive feature of anybody. Just like recently, hearing that a six-year-old child killed, shot a teacher. I mean, this is like, what's the world coming to, It's not an attractive feature to kill in that way. But then the Bhagavatam is assuring us here that this is, and the Bhagavad Gita is assuring us that he appears to take care of the rascals and to deliver the devotees. But he also, as we hear here, he delivers the demons too. Krishna has two playgrounds. He has one playground here in the material world, and then he's got a whole other playground in the spiritual world. And there's actually fighting going on in both of them, but of different nature. In the material world, our fighting is out of anger and jealousy and a sickness of the mind and envy. But in the spiritual world, Krishna, what is his nature of fighting? Well, early in the morning, he's thinking, let's go get up early, and my friends are here, let's go to the barn and take care of the cows, is even before showering or anything, before eating. And he goes, before we take care of the cows, let's wrestle. So this is his fighting, his nature. It's enjoyable for him, and it's enjoyable for his devotees. I imagine the cows enjoy watching it too. So this is a whole different nature. And in the material world, he liberates when he's fighting. So this is something, a special feature that Krishna has and that he displays, just to show that he is all good. He lives up to his name of that God is all good, because he has a plan to reclaim all the different souls. He has different plans. We don't always understand all of them. But even like on the battlefield, he told Arjuna, he said, you know, I want you to fight, but my plan is that they're all going to, I'm going to kill them all anyway, so liberate them all. But if you want to be part of it, fine. We were hearing the other day, too, about Parshanam. He had to kill his brother and mother, but he knew that he could bring them back to life. They could be liberated. So this is Krishna's plan to deliver everyone out of his causeless mercy. And it's interesting here, it's describing how according to the intensity of their demoniac qualities, they get different kinds of liberation. On the lower level, we get to be merged into the Brahmajyoti, which for the devotees is like, oh, no thanks. But that's at least something that's better than where the demon is. He gets liberated and gets to merge. And then on the higher end, he gets to actually go to the Vaikuntha planets and associate with Krishna or Vishnu in that way. So there are different types of liberation. So Krishna, he has, seems like he has some preference for the super, super demons. Has anyone ever played the card game Hearts? Anyone ever played Hearts? Okay, yeah. So briefly I'll explain the game is that you have the hearts and then you have this Queen of Spades. And they're bad. You don't want them in your hand. And so people pass them to you, you go, oh gosh, now. And then you look at your hand, and if you're stuck with them, you get all these horrible points. You get 13 points for the queen. Anyway, so then, but if you see like, wow, I got the heart, I got the queen, and I got all these high hearts, if you get them all from everybody else, then everyone else gets all the points. So it's like this is a Krishna's game that if you're a really super demon, you really go for it and try to really be nasty, then you get liberation. So you got to really qualify, though, to actually be a demon and directly against Krishna. So for us, we should just play our cards straight, be nice to devotees, and follow the rules and regulations, and try to not deviate in this one little lifetime. This time, we can actually maybe make it out of here, or at least, we're encouraged here that we can actually make it quite a ways beyond even what the demons get. So for us, it's best to just play our cards safe and stay out of Maya's way. It's important, though, to be able to stay out of Maya's way. That means we have to be very select in our association and in the atmosphere that we put ourselves in, so that we stay surcharged with devotional strength and knowledge to keep going on, even though the material world is always very attracting, you know, trying to take us away. Maya's, you know, still looking over our shoulder, wondering when she can slip in. So it's very important to have that very rich devotee and spiritual atmosphere. In the garden, especially sometimes this time of year, all of a sudden you'll see some plants come up. We call them volunteers. They're not the people volunteers, which we never see out there, but these are plant volunteers, and they just come up on their own. Usually they're in the compost pile, because that's where all the real rich stuff is. It comes from the kitchen, and we layer it and layer it, and then we get these little volunteers come up, and they're usually the strongest plants. For some reason, they give the best, they're strong, and we get the best results from them. It's because they're in a rich atmosphere. They're in the compost, they're in it where it's really rich. So we have to also select that rich spiritual environment. Devotees that will encourage us to keep strict standards and to chant our 16 rounds, and to keep the proper sadhana and behavior, Vaishnava behavior. This will be a very important choice. On Sunday we heard all about choices. And this is the most important choice, is our choice of association, of who we're going to hang out with in this devotional service lifetime. The Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter about attaining the Supreme, goes into detail of how we can attain Krishna's mercy and get out of here. And there's And it's kind of strict, you know. It's not like it's that easy. So we have to realize that we have to become very pure. And that someone's always watching. It's like we have a surveillance camera in our heart that Krishna put in there. And he's always surveying how we're doing. For lifetimes, it's been turned on. And it's kind of spooky to think about it, especially the past lifetimes, or even in this lifetime, what we did. That's all on record. You know, so you can play it back and say, remember when you did that? Remember when you did that? And so we have to learn to now to behave properly, be on our best behavior. Not be on a teeter-totter, you know, those little things that go up and down, boga, tiaga. Oh, this year, yeah, I'm really into sense gratification. Next year, I'm really into renunciation. Up and back, up and back. You know, setting us up like in a volleyball game to be smashed down. So this is the importance of taking part in this bhakti yoga. Here is describing a little bit of a benefit we can get if we want some extra points, bonus points. Here it's describing that one demon is just seeing Krishna as just, oh yeah, he's pretty far out guy and everything, and then he gets the Brahmajyoti. And then the other demon, he's recognizing Krishna. He says, Oh, Krishna, I guess you are supreme, you know. And he gets to a better select going to Vaikuntha planets. So this is, Nina's describing, if you're a really intimate devotee, then you might even, you know, get that wonderful benediction of going back to Krishna. So this is a matter of recognition, of recognizing Krishna. And that's what bhakti yoga is all about. We learn from the very first day how to recognize Krishna. First of all, we recognize that he's in his name. If we can recognize that alone, that he's in this mantra, we're so much closer to understanding Krishna and to being with Krishna. But then we have our other senses, and Prabhupada was so expert in waking up all of our spiritual senses. He gave us deity worship so that we could touch Krishna, that we could massage his feet, and we could actually see him every day with our eyes. Purifying those senses. And then we have the sense of hearing. That's how we know about Krishna. That's the only way we know about Krishna, is from what Prabhupada has told us. So this sense is awakened up, and we can't wait to hear what the next speaker is going to say about the Bhagavatam every day. You're always waiting for that class. It's enlivening to the soul. It's keeping the soul very much awake. And of course, even looking at nature, like this morning, that red sunset was, you know, totally amazing. Or being out in the garden, touching the earth and smelling the earth, you're close to Krishna, waking up those different senses. And of course, the mind, trying to absorb it in the holy name, and thinking about our devotee friends and about distributing books. This is all to help us recognize Krishna all day long. We have that opportunity 24 hours a day to recognize, oh, Krishna, even in the bad and in the good, the birth and the death, it's all Krishna. Krishna is there. And especially in our hearts, that feeling of being able to hear Krishna sometimes and recognizing, Krishna's telling me to do this. It's not very often, but sometimes you actually listen very attentively to that voice, and you find that it really pays off. Otherwise, what are you left with? You're left here in this dry, boring, material world. Marcha Loka, the place of death. Not a very nice place. So we shouldn't deprive our soul of engaging our spiritual senses. It's our inherited right, actually. Because we're devotees of Krishna, all we have to do is stay alive in Krishna consciousness, and we'll inherit this spiritual satisfaction of our soul. We have a right to enjoy hearing these pastimes and hearing about Krishna slaying and having the heads fly here and there and satisfying the gopis and everything else. This is This is our inherited right, and we should go for it. And of course, these incarnations are most entertaining. And it begins here. This is the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And they're mentioned in the beginning. This is just like it was said yesterday, it's showing what's coming up ahead. And it's just, and a couple times here it says, in the 10th canto, we're going to get to all this. So it excites us, it increases that anticipation of hearing more and more about Krishna. And that's the importance of hearing this Bhagavatam every single day. And of course, in the very end of this prayer port, Prabhupada says that, one can imagine what would be the position of those who devoutly serve the Lord in transcendental relationship with Him. So we can hope that Srila Prabhupada keeps us engaged, but at the same time, we can't get too confident that, yeah, I've got it made, I'm doing this every day and I'm going to make it back. But think about Bharat Maharaj. How close was he? Was he at Prema?
Bhava.
So close. Much closer than we are, for sure. So close. Yet, he ended up to be a deer. Of course, he got some benediction. You remember his last lifetimes, but we might not be so fortunate. And then there was what, Chitraketu. He made a mistake, made some offense, and he came back as a demon. He was very anxious to get killed because he knew he'd be in a better situation. But we don't know. We don't know that Maya can capture us at any moment. We can start going on that other end of the teeter-totter to the boga, to sense gratification. It's so available now. It's so available. For hours we can be lost on the internet every day, losing our chance to recognize Krishna. Instead we choose to recognize all this nonsense that's going on all around us. So it's our choice, and we should be encouraged by this little benediction that Prabhupada's saying, that if we devoutly serve the Lord, then we will get some benediction. So these are a few thoughts. Maybe someone else would like to say something.
Seems like becoming demon is quicker to get Krishna.
Well, isn't that what the four Kamaras chose? They wanted to get back here quicker by being a demon. A few less lifetimes, but you have to be a big demon. You got to be where Krishna is too. So, like I say, just worry about being a good devotee.
We've been trying; it hasn't been working out so well.
No.
Just want to thank you for your very inspiring class. I was thinking about the point you were making that we get to hear these pastimes, just yesterday in our reading, we were reading the chapter Wonderful Krishna. And in the chapter, the devotees are just talking about all these pastimes. Mm. So I was thinking that we're so fortunate. In Goloka, they're remembering these pastimes. That's how they're remembering Krishna. So we also get to hear these pastimes just in the start and then get to hear more.
Nityam Bhagavat to say. Every day we should somehow or other fill ourselves with a little bit of Krishna or a lot of Krishna. Yeah, that wonderful Krishna is jam-packed, boom, 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 right after one after the other. Yes.
Thank you so much for a nice class. I really like the analogy of how compost, in compost volunteers grow and the hearts game. Do you want to add anything about Hiranyakashipu demon, who is quite often worshipped on the altars?
Want me to say something about Hiranyakashipu? He was a big demon. He was on that list. And he somehow or other, he got that benediction, even though he was so offensive to the devotee. He was one of the ones that had to get back to Krishna. So he had a special mission. He was... Which one was he? He was Jai Vijay. Which one was he? I forget.
Jai.
Which one? He was Jai? Yeah. So he got a special opportunity.
And you know something? He did austerity for 36,000 years.
Staying on the tip of his toes.
Let's see how many really yoga.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to go for the demon, you better start practicing. It's not easy to stand on your tippy toes for very long. Yeah, his bones, down to the bones, the ants eating his body. Yeah, what kind of austerity we can do? Whenever someone says austerity, I say, I always think of Arunya Kashyapu, especially the song or the play where he goes, and he was standing on the tip of his toes, you know. What? I was there when they showed that, that little clip that used to be a little, we didn't have anything, but you had to paint a picture and then they would put it on a slide and you put it up on the wall, and that's what we brought Prabhupada into what's now the temple room in L.A. And they put him on a seat and I was really close to him, like from here to there, watching him watch the slideshow of Arunya Kashyapu. It was the first showing and it was really funky. I mean, the artwork was funky and the whole thing was funky, but it came to when Kashyapu goes, "What in the hell is going on here?" And I go, "Oh, you know, you shouldn't talk like that in front of Prabhupada." But Prabhupada was sitting over on his seat and he was just laughing. He was rolling back and, you know, he had a short seat, it was a old movie type theory seats, and he was laughing. He enjoyed it so much. So Prabhupada enjoyed that pastime. He was very, very much attached to Nrisimhadev and asked us to always chant Nrisimha prayer whenever he was sick. So these pastimes are there for the devotee's pleasure. And so that's also why Arunya Kashyapu appeared. Krishna likes to fight, so he chose his devotee. So I don't think we're that good of a devotee that he'll choose us. But maybe someday we'll get to wrestle with him in the barn, some lifetime. Anybody else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.